For a long time, I just had such a struggle with giving love. I didn't understand how to love. And I want to say that this message transformed my life and the ability not only to just receive the love of God, but actually to receive it in such a way that I would be able to give it.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Braveheart Podcast, where we help you discover why you may be struggling feeling the love of God and struggling loving others, and we show you how you can truly be rooted and grounded in God's love towards you and how it empowers you to freely love others. Right now, we are in the Braveheart Vault, which is where we're taking some of our favorite episodes from the past couple of years and having people share testimonies about how they've impacted them. And you're about to hear the rest of that clip of this testimony from Austin along with the episode, and I hope you enjoy.
Hey friends, welcome to this week's episode of the Braveheart Podcast. My name's Austin, and I am honored to share how my life has been marked by this message. For a long time, I mean a long time in my life, I just had such a struggle with giving love. I didn't understand how to love. And, you know, I had felt like I had received the love of God, but I didn't know practically what that looked like for my life to love the people around me and actually transform people through the love of God. And I want to say that this message transformed my life. This message in itself transformed my life and the ability not only to just receive the love of God, which is a huge part of it, but actually to receive it in such a way that I would be able to give it, that I would be able to walk in love just as Christ walked in love and understand what that even looked like for him. And so if you're listening today, this message is going to release life in the love of God. It's going to break off the spirit of offense and empower you to reveal to the people around you who they truly are. Just by the way you live your life, you don't even have to say anything. It's in your response to their life that they'll say, wow, that's who I am. And soon you'll understand what I'm talking about. And so I'm just going to give a spoiler alert. This is the message right here. And I think this will really prepare our hearts to receive the word from the Lord today. 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. And here it is. From now on. Sorry, I had to do it. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh. We regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come.
Corinthians chapter 5, we'll hop into the word here. Raise your hand if you were not here last week. Okay, half the room. Amen. Praise God. Glad you're here this week. I spoke last week on forgiveness, and I just talked about the power and the authority that we have as followers of Jesus to forgive, and that he's given us that authority by the Holy Spirit, and that in the old covenant that they forgave, the high priest alone was able to offer forgiveness by the blood of a bull or a goat. And then John the Baptist comes and he offers the nation of Israel forgiveness by the waters of baptism, which was a remarkable thing if you really study it out. Israel did not know forgiveness of sins except for the blood of bulls and goats. So for a man to offer them forgiveness with water was really, really wild. And then Jesus came onto the scene and he starts forgiving folks in front of people. And he's like, hey, I forgive you your sins. And the Pharisees start panicking, and they're like, only God can forgive sins. And Jesus was like, listen, what's harder to say, get up and walk or be forgiven. He's like, but so you know I have the authority to forgive sins. Hey, brother, get up and walk. And dude gets up and walks. And then you see it culminating in John 20 when he raises from the dead. He breathes on his disciples. He says, receive the Holy Spirit. Anyone you forgive shall be forgiven. Anyone who sins you withhold will be withheld. And so we just talked about the power and the authority that we have to forgive. It's not a side issue. It's not something that we get to choose to do or not to do. If you study the parable of the unforgiving servant in Matthew 17, it's pretty remarkable. I encourage you, if you're having trouble forgiving, go read that parable in Matthew 17. And I'll summarize it for you quickly, and then we'll hop into the word. But in Matthew 17, there is a guy who owes his master what's the equivalent of hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions of dollars in today's terms. And the master's like, dude, you've done screwed up. I'm gonna put you in jail and all your family. And he's like, no, please, have mercy on me. And the master's like, fine, I forgive it all. You don't have to pay me. Go on. Now, how many of you know that's a good day? That's a great day. You know, a couple hundred G's just wiped off your books real quick. And then he goes, and that guy had a servant. And he goes to that servant owed him the equivalent of like maybe 50 bucks. And he's like, hey, you need to pay me that 50 bucks now. And the guy's like, hey, I don't have it. Can you have mercy on with me? And he's like, no, I'm not going to have mercy on you. I'm not going to forgive you this debt. And so he throws the guy in jail. And the other guy's master, his servant, said, hey, did you see what the guy just did? And he told him, he's like, man, you're a wicked servant. Shouldn't you have forgiven him? You got forgiven all of this, and you wouldn't forgive him this small amount? And then Jesus ties it all off, and he says, guys, God wants you to forgive from your heart because of how much you've been forgiven. And so if you're having trouble forgiving, just know that anything that anyone has ever done to you, no matter how bad or wrong or hard, that debt that they owe you is not bigger than the debt that you owed God. The debt that we all owed God was death. That was our debt. And God says, I forgive you. I'm not going to, you don't have to pay me death. I'm going to pay it for you. Amen. And so that's just a good reminder that oftentimes when we struggle to forgive, it's because we've forgotten how much we've been forgiven and how much we've been loved by God. Amen. When that's in the forefront, forgiveness just seems to flow like a mighty river. And so what I want to read to you tonight, I believe, is foundational to not just living a life of forgiveness, but also living a life where you actually don't get offended. Amen? How many of you know it's awesome to live a life of forgiveness, and it's even better to live a life where it's really hard to be offended? Like where you wouldn't have to constantly being releasing forgiveness for people, because, you know, how many of you know the most sensitive people, you get around those people and you feel like you got to walk on eggshells because everything you say and do is going to set them off. That's one type of person. Praise God, we pray for them. But then there's another group of people. How many of you know it's amazing to be around someone who's super secure in their own skin, and no matter what you say or do, like you feel like you can manifest your flesh a little bit and they're not going to get mad at you and shame you. Amen. How many of you like to be around those people? Yeah, we all do. And so this scripture here is foundational for that. And this is where I believe that God wants to take us. And so we'll just hop in verse 13. And then at the end of service, I'm going to share some, I guess you could call them prophetic words. I'm going to share some prophetic words. My wife has a word that she wants to share. And then we're going to break up in groups of like three or four, just to warn you ahead of time if you want to leave service at that time. Some of you, you know, the introverts get in the panic mode. I'm just letting you know now. And so we're going to break up, and we're going to just share from our hearts to one another as the Spirit leads. Is that cool? We'll do that for like 5 minutes, 10 minutes. All right, let's read the Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 13. We'll start right there. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 13. Say amen when you're there. Amen. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself, and he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Father, we need your help by the Holy Spirit. Would you teach us, and would you build our lives upon the cross? And would it just not be something that we talk about? Would the reality of the cross manifest in every area of our lives, Lord? And where our Christian life has been built on another foundation, God, I pray, Holy Spirit, you would help tonight somehow by your grace to establish all of us on this rock, which is Jesus and his cross. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen? Amen. So go back to verse 13. A couple little notes here. For those of you who are new for in this environment of maybe sometimes where it gets a little wild and people are just seemingly out of their mind, I want to show you this in the Bible, okay? Paul is saying, for if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If I'm out of my mind, it's not for you in this room. In worship, when we're worshiping God and people are spinning because they've been forgiven much and they're saying, God, we love you, and they're crying and lifting their hands and shouting and getting wild, guess what? He's saying, that's not for you. Just to free, I don't know who I'm talking to, but that's just to liberate your heart. You say, why are those people doing that? It's because they're worshiping God. That offering is unto the Lord. So if you're beside yourself, he says, if I'm beside myself, it's for God. But if I'm in my right mind, it's for you. Oftentimes, I have to keep it together up here for you. Like I'll be talking and thinking and praying, and I come with a full heart, and I come, and honestly, what I want to do a lot of times is just shout and run around and just say, God is amazing because of what's going on in my heart. But that doesn't help you, right? That doesn't help you, a little bit. Maybe give you some freedom. Your pastors are like, do it. There's something not right with these people, and it's Jesus, and I love it. So he says, if I'm in my right mind, it's for you. If I start talking to you intelligibly from the Word of God and from his heart, it's for you, for your growth, for your progress, for your joy in the faith. Amen? Little side note there. All right, so watch this. For the love of Christ controls us. Paul, why does the love of Christ control you? Because we've concluded this. This is so profound to me. Paul says that I'm controlled by love. God's love controls me. Why? How many of you would like to be controlled by the love of God? And not controlled by your flesh, not controlled by any other thing. You say, man, I would like for as a husband, as a wife, as a business leader, I want to be controlled by the love of God in everything I do. That's a worthwhile prayer. And what I find so profound, I've read this 1,000 times, maybe 1,000. I love this chapter, is that the love of Christ controlling this man and these group of people was because he made a conclusion. Read your Bible. He says, for the love of Christ controls us. Why? Because we've concluded this. The love of Christ controls you because you made a conclusion? Think about it. What's the conclusion that he makes? Let's look at it. Here's the conclusion. He says, I have concluded, we have concluded that one has died for all, therefore all have died. Say all have died. And he died for all that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. This is what Paul's saying. He says, okay, because Jesus Christ died on a cross for all men. How many men did Jesus Christ die on a cross for? Did he exclude any man or any woman? Meaning when someone comes to Christ, he doesn't need to get back on the cross again. He's already made payment and provision for the entire humanity, past, present, and future, to be reconciled to the Father. True? He doesn't have to provide another offering. That there is enough life and reconciliation in the work on the cross. So this is what Paul's saying. Whether people have responded to that or not, we've made a conclusion that because he died, we are going to posture ourselves towards everybody, towards humanity, as if they have died with Christ. We've made a conclusion. God's love is compelling me. So when I walk into Athens and I'm seeing unknown gods and these people that are complete pagans, he's like, I've made a conclusion about them, that they've died because Christ died for them. And so God's love, it controls me because I'm living under this conclusion that, Christ made a decision about these people in Athens and these people in Lystra who stoned me to death. I've already made a conclusion that God loves them. You couldn't change Paul's mind. So when people stoned him in Lystra, Acts 14, they stoned him to death. It says that they drug him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. Now, I don't know if you've stoned people before. I'm guessing if you suppose they were dead, he might have been dead. And it says that the disciples gathered around him and they lifted him up. And Paul's like, man, I got to keep preaching the gospel. Why would you, like, if we're honest, Heath's on the board of a lot of ministries. If that was one of the guys you're leading, wouldn't you say, hey, it may be time to take a sabbatical? This is hard ground. But see, Paul had made a conclusion in his heart, and nothing was going to sway him. Christ died for all, therefore all died. So I've postured my heart towards humanity as if, like, I am now looking at humanity through the lens of the cross. You see this? This is the conclusion that he's made, and this conclusion is what gave Paul love and was the fuel for his ministry. And I want to encourage you, if you feel numb in your marriage, if you feel numb in your have vision in life, I want to encourage you that there is a lens through which you can look through the cross that will actually cause love to bubble up inside of you. And for many of you, if you feel numb, it's likely because you have forgotten the love expressed for you on the cross. And when you forget or grow numb to, or you say, oh, I know that he died on a cross for my sins, and we're singing a song tonight, and CJ and the team are leading, and they're like, thank you for the cross, and they sang it 1,000 times, and some of you were like, why are we singing this over and over? It was an invitation for your heart to actually be reminded how much he loves you. So look, so he makes this conclusion. This is so amazing to me. He died for all that those who live might no longer live for themselves. This is awesome, church. Man, you want to talk about freedom? You want to live in freedom? Tap into this verse right here. This is freedom for you. He died for all. He died for you so that you'd no longer live for yourself. Did you understand that? He died for you so that self could die on that cross, and when you came up out of the grave with him, you no longer had yourself at the top of your priority list and what you were living for. You were no longer self-seeking. So then how does that play out? How does that manifest in real life? It means that when someone hurts yourself, you don't take it so personally because you're not living for yourself. You're living for him who for your sake died and was raised.
So what's he saying? He's saying, hey, I want your whole life to be in light of this man who died on a cross and was raised. Meaning, if someone sins against you, if someone trespasses against you, if you have a desire to do this or that, that it's all, your life is now no longer your own. You've been purchased because of this cross. You've been bought with a price. You're not your own. Like, we don't like the culture we live in doesn't like to talk about you've been bought with a price. You're not your own. We like to be our own. We like to go our own way. What's that song? Is that a Journey song? That's a cool song, but it's not true if you've been born again. You get to go his way. It's not Journey. It is Journey. What is it? Amen. All right. So watch this. We're going to get to the famous scripture now. This is so cool. Paul gives this from now on business. If let me tell you this, if the cross for you has not become a from now on, you need to go back to the cross. The cross is so final, it's so permanent, it's so like definite that it's meant for the children of God to be like, because of this thing, it's like from now on. And now I'm going to break into the Greatest Showman. That would be cool. You see, if I was Jeremy, I'd just break into it, start singing it. He's like church in a box. He can do everything. You really are. It's unfair. God was pouring out talent, and he just like, whoa, whoa, spilled a few extra thousand. So look, from now on, I want to sing it so bad. From now on, therefore, listen, when you see therefore in your Bible, Paul just builds upon it. Therefore, 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 he's building something. He says, Jesus died for all. Therefore, because he died for all, he says that they're no longer going to live for themselves, but live for God. And so, because of the cross, from now on, therefore what? We regard no one according to the flesh. This is so incredible to me. We regard no one according to the flesh, Paul says. No one. No one. I don't regard you according to the flesh anymore. What do you mean, Paul? Meaning when you do something in your flesh that doesn't line up with who you are in God, I'm not going to regard that. I'm not going to register that. I'm not going to account for that. I'm not going to take my feelings and get hurt by that. I can no longer regard you according to the flesh. Why? Because he died for all. And I have covenanted through my covenant with my maker, the one who I said I follow. I've covenanted to regard mankind like he regards them, which is according to the Spirit. And there's so, listen to me, this is, I could start flipping tables. There is so much ministry that we have to do as the church collectively, because people are unwilling to come out of their flesh. To be honest, the solution would be, could we just repent of being in our flesh? Could we just repent of regarding so-and-so according to the flesh? Or could we just at least be honest with where we're at and saying, you know what, I know Jesus died on a cross for all, and that I'm not supposed to regard them according to the flesh, and that he doesn't regard me according to the flesh, but I'm unwilling to do that with this person. That at least would be honest, and you could get breakthrough, you could get progress. Amen? It's okay if you're there, but just acknowledge if you're there, and let the Holy Spirit soften your heart and give you some insight into what Jesus has done on the cross. This is so amazing to me. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. We could talk forever about how that could play out. But I want to get to this. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. What's he saying? He's saying, like, we take for granted because we get the end of the story. We take for granted that the perspective of the early church didn't, the revelation of Jesus as God wasn't widespread like it is now. Jesus was born of Mary and Joseph. He was a carpenter's son. People knew him as Jesus of Nazareth. Like, you know that when Jesus was like 20 years old and he's walking the streets, people walked by God and they didn't know it. They're walking by God, the one who, for whom and by whom all things exist. They walk and they bump his shoulders and they watch it, man. That's God you just bumped. This is the humility of Jesus. And people regarded him according to the flesh. And he says, but now we don't do that anymore because now we see. Now we see who he is. We see who he is after the Spirit, and we can't regard him according to the flesh. Now, here's the famous scripture that we all love to quote over ourselves when we're having a bad day. Okay? But I want to show you something. I don't believe 2 Corinthians 5:17 is actually talking about me. I think it's talking about you. Hear me. I think you can apply it to me. But he's actually talking about you, if you look at the context of the scripture. So he's saying, he's talking about, because of how what Christ did, our perception towards people is that we no longer regard them. Like, our perception, regard, our calculation of them, our perception, how we see them, is not according to the flesh. So he's talking about a horizontal, because of this, the way I see is different. You guys see that? So now when he comes in verse 17, he says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. I believe Paul is showing the church how to view one another. He's trying to show you, because Christ has died, I want you to view every single person that's in your fellowship that says, hey, I'm in Christ. If they acknowledge I'm in Christ, even though they act in your flesh, we now have permission from God through the cross to go, man, I don't have permission to treat you according to your flesh. I actually don't have freedom to regard you according to that anyway. And so if I can't regard you according to the flesh, how am I going to relate to you? Well, the old has passed away, but the new has come. So I wonder if someone who's acting in their flesh doesn't know how new they are. I wonder if their mind just hasn't been renewed to the fact of how brand spanking new they've become in Jesus through the covenant. And I wonder if our job is actually just to regard them according to who they are, so that they wake up and go, wait a minute, you think I'm valuable? You mean that you sinned against me, but love is patient, and so you didn't go anywhere? You sinned against me, but love is kind, and so not only were you patient, but you extended kindness towards me when I sinned against you. And that kindness, watch this, kindness leads to repentance. Oh, come on. Some of you have been trying to change the behavior of someone else that you know, and you've been trying to control their flesh and punish their flesh, and put boundaries for their flesh. And God said, hey, you know, there's something that's cool about me. It's my kindness that leads to repentance. You're trying to get someone to change their mind about what they're doing and to change their behavior, but repentance only comes through kindness. So if you can't be patient enough with someone who's sinning against you to be kind to them, they may never actually change. And the only way you're going to be patient with someone who's sinning against you is if you have eyes to see and you've made a conclusion that he died for them. And the only reason they're acting that way is you go, man, I'm not going to regard you according to the flesh. The only reason you're acting that way is because you have no idea how brand new you are. Man, you're just, there's no condemnation. There's no shame. You're just going, man, it's okay, man. You're manifesting your flesh. Wow. That's incredible. How could that still be there, you know? Like when my kids, my son today, Samuel, he's 4. I need to finish this. I'm going to give you this example. I tried to put him down for a nap because, bless his heart, he needs a nap. And the kid just manifested. I'm talking about, like, jumping on the bed, running, screaming. Like, it was just bananas. I've never seen anything like it. I'm like, what are you doing? And I'm realizing the only reason he's doing that is for two reasons. One, he's four, and two, he's really tired. Now, a four-year-old who's tired is incapable. I've learned this as a dad. A four-year-old who's tired is incapable of manifesting sanity. They cannot do it. A Christian who doesn't know God loves them is incapable of manifesting the Spirit. So instead of going, you know, come here, you, why are you doing this? Which I did. I yelled at him. Because it took me a little while to remind myself that he's four and he's tired, right, Jen? He's four and he's tired and he can't. It's one thing if they can. You get mad at him. You're like, I know you can do better, you know? But he couldn't. And so I'm saying this, I'm giving this analogy because I think it's so important in how we treat one another that there's got to be in our hearts a from now on. From now on, because of this cross, I'm not going to treat so-and-so according to the flesh. I'm not going to treat anybody according to the flesh because they're a brand new creation. And then, you know what becomes really fun? It becomes our joy to ask the Holy Spirit and partner with the Father. Dad, would you show me? Would you show me what's so brand new about this person? Would you show me what about this person you love? Like, now all of a sudden we're partnering with the Father in bringing light, and we're actually fulfilling. Every one of you have a ministry, by the way. It's called reconciliation. You're in full-time ministry whether you knew it or not, and here's your ministry: not counting men's trespasses against them. That's your only ministry is, hey, when someone sins against you, just tell them, hey, it doesn't count. Come on. Do you know we would have revival if we did this? If we really, really did this, like if you cleared the slate, I'm not talking about like, oh, I kind of forgive you, but I'm not going to forget. I'm talking about what you did in the flesh. It's wiped off the ledger because there's this cross and this blood thing that's accounted for it. And I refuse to be a debt collector of something that he already paid for. When you withhold forgiveness and go, you need to pay for that, what you're doing is you're saying, Jesus, I know you paid for that, but I still want to be a debt collector. He's paid the tab, and you're going, pay me the bill. And he's already paid their tab. Okay, can you put that track on for me, bro? We've got 20 minutes. That's it. That was the message. Amen? That's a Christmas miracle. So we want to minister to you. I've got a few words. If you could just, he's going to put on a track. Babe, you're going to share that word in a minute. So come up. You can just come up here. I had a couple words. Where's my brother? He might have left because we were doing prophecy. Where did he go? I'm looking for you. Maybe he went to the restroom. I'll come over here to this man. This is my wife, Christy. Isn't she amazing? We have 5 children. Can you believe that? That's incredible. Sir, what's your name? Yes, sir. Anupam. So I saw this picture with you, and I think it's just a proverb or like a riddle, if you will. But I saw you like making surfboards, and you were making surfboards, and you were very like scientific about it, and you were fashioning the angles so that the surfers, you were serving these surfers so that they could have a really fun time on these waves and be really good at surfing, and people got to know that you were really good at making these surfboards. And I felt like the Lord said, you've had a tremendous amount of favor making these surfboards. Again, I feel like it's an analogy, but that he's actually calling you to surf. And he's calling you to get into the water and to do the thing that you've been kind of like tinkering with, and you've been kind of the scientist in it, and you've gotten some momentum, but it's out of your comfort zone. And you've always said, I'm not a surfer. I just do the thing over here. But he's saying, I actually am calling you into the water to step on the thing that you've created, and that it's going to be his grace is going to create this momentum around you. And I don't know if that makes any sense or not. Does that track with you? Do you know what that means? Yes. Well, he's inviting you to jump in and surf and see for yourself. It's really fun. It's really fun. You can play with the surfboard all you want, and you can imagine what it's like and watch other people do it, but he says, hey, it's time to jump in, and you're going to be really good at it, and I feel like you're actually going to bring a lot of people to Jesus because of your heart and because you have compassion for where they've been. So bless you, brother. Yeah, amen. Amen. You want to share your word? And then...
So I felt this earlier this week, and I just wanted to share it. It goes along with Peter's message, and so that's why I felt like it was for tonight. But in James 5, verses 16, it says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And I was remembering a long time ago, probably like 10 years ago, I was with a friend, and the Lord brought to memory something that I had done years earlier, and I felt guilty for it, and I had brought it to the Lord, but I had never confessed it to anybody else, and I think that there are things that when they're kept in darkness, even if you've dealt with it with the Lord, the enemy, he just beats you over the head. And even though Jesus has taken care of it, the enemy is still using it against you. And so I brought this into the light. And my friend looks at me and she was like, oh, that's okay. He's forgiven you for that. And that's not who you are. And in a moment, any kind of bait that the enemy still had was totally removed from my life. And the sting of it was totally removed. And I feel like, just like Peter was talking about, our ministry is not just to forgive one another the offenses that maybe Peter's done to me, but our ministry is also to forgive one another for, if you commit a sin, you can come to me and I can say, he forgives you for that. That's wiped clean. We don't need to talk about it. We don't need to fix it. It's done. We impart the forgiveness of Jesus to each other. And so what I feel is if there's anybody in here and there's something inside, and it could have been yesterday, it could have been 20 years ago, it could be something that was done to you, so something that you did or a sin that was committed against you, and the enemy is just, he's beating you over the head with it. And the only reason Jesus wants you to bring it into the light is not because he doesn't know. He knows. He forgives you. It's done. He wants you to be free. And so anyways, I'm submitting that for us to carry that heart, for if someone brings something to you to say, hey, I forgive you for that. You're wiped clean of that. And then if there's something that you feel you need to confess, to find someone in here, you can come to me. But we want to impart the forgiveness of Jesus so that you can be totally wiped clean. It's done. It's taken care of. Your past is dealt with. And our job is to impart that to each other. So I just felt that, and I just feel like there's a window for people to confess if they want freedom. Yeah.
So good. So we're going to break up here in just a minute. I've got a couple more words. I found one of my guys, my man in the back in the checkered shirt. Yeah, my man. I just heard Isaiah 54 over you. For you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your offspring will possess the nations, and people the desolate cities. Oh, and verse 2 as well. Enlarge the place of your tent. This is what it was.
and let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. And I just felt like the Lord wants to expand either your home. I don't know if you're looking at moving or getting a bigger home, but I feel like what God's put in your heart, he's making room for it. And it may feel like Noah building an ark before it rains. And it may feel a little bit like you're stepping out there and like, it feels a little nervous. But he wants to, I want to confirm if that's true in your heart. Is this making sense? That he's expanding. He's expanding your home and your territory. And it's going to... Your children and your anointing is going to flourish underneath that thing, because what you carry is really important. And I feel like it's different. I feel like it's a pioneer thing. I feel like it's counterculture and counterflow. It's just not like it's and for a long time you've been misunderstood and this and that, but the Lord's about to expand you and give you a voice, and people are going to go, man, where did this guy come from? And so, man, I just want to bless you with that. Does that make sense? Amen. Amen. What's so good about this, it's a lot easier to speak to the Spirit. I don't know that man from Adam, so I don't know his flesh. So there's nothing in me to make me stumble, right? Isn't that cool? That's why it's fun to... Oh, wow. Come on. You just got a bigger home 2 weeks ago. Praise God. What's prophetic? Amen. That's beautiful. I've got a couple more. One, sir, right there. Yes, I got your eyes. Yes, sir. No, you. Yes, sir. I just heard the Lord say, the greatest among you will be your servant. And I feel like the Lord has just, I feel like you're a servant at your heart, at your core. You just serve and you pour out and you bless. And the Lord sees it and he knows it. And I also heard that you have a spirit like Stephen. The one that was martyred, that you have a spirit like him, that you've got the ability to line by line articulate the truths of God, that you're filled with the Holy Ghost, but you're also filled with the knowledge of his word, and that your knowledge, what you know, is really important. And the Lord wants you to know that he's given you this grace to hold those two things in tension, the power of the Holy Spirit and the truth of his word. And what you carry is really, really important. And just because you're not seen or known, the Lord says that the greatest among you shall be your servant, and that what you've been doing, his perception of you is greatness, that his view of you is greatness, and not to diminish what it is that he's called you to do. It's a really big deal. And so I bless you with that. And I just pray, Spirit of the living God, Lord, I pray any feelings, God, where the enemy has accused him and says he hasn't quite stepped into the fullness, he hasn't quite walked in all that you've called him to do, Lord, I silence that in Jesus' name. And I just declare that there is a harvest, an orchard behind this man, God, of faithful seed sown in season after season through faithfulness, Lord. And I pray, Spirit of the living God, would you let this man taste of the fruit of his labors, God, in Jesus' name. Would you let him taste, God? Would you let him just turn around and see the orchard and the magnificent blessings that are upon his life? In Jesus' name, amen.
I hope you enjoyed that episode. I want to encourage you, if you haven't already, to subscribe to the Braveheart Podcast. It just helps us to get the message out and for more people to hear the amazing good news of the gospel. And also, if you have a testimony that you would like to share, please email us at media@braveheartministries.org, or you can reach out to us through any of our social media platforms, and we would love to hear from you. We will see you next week. We love you.